Hello and welcome to the Overly Animated Podcast, where we take animation seriously. We talk everything animation here, including Voltron Legendary Defender, which we'll be getting into today. I'm Dylan Heisen, and today I'm joined by Delaney Stovall.
Hey, y'all.
Justin Cummings.
Hello.
And Jeff Anderson.
Howdy, howdy.
Today, Delaney, Justin, Jeff, and I are very excited to get into episode 7, the season finale of season 3 of Voltron Legendary Defender. We'll also be discussing the season 3 as a whole. We've been working our way through all of this season of Voltron Legendary Defender, like always. For our Voltron coverage, you can check us out at overlyanimated.com. Find all of our previous Voltron podcasts there. Not required to listen to them. This will probably be our most impactful discussion, I would say, of the rest, much like the episode itself. And you can find us on iTunes at overlyanimated.com/iTunes, or you can subscribe to us there. So, we're discussing The Legend Begins, I think it's called, yeah.
Yes.
What do you prefer, The Legend Beginnings or Beginnings? the Korra backstory episode versus the Voltron backstory episode. Pretty, basically the same thing. Our Avatar legacy writers like putting Begins in the backstory episodes, I think. So, yes.
This is what I meant when I said it seemed like a mid-season finale.
Yes. Yeah. It's very similar to book 2 of Korra, the beginnings being a mid-season finale. So, I think this is by far the most notable episode of Voltron ever. So we're going to get into that. Does the quality match the notableness? We will discuss. So, spoilers for this episode. This is probably the most spoiler filled Voltron episode, so make sure you have seen it. So basically we got everything explained to us finally that happens in the show.
Took the season 3.
Yep, season 3. They explained everything.
End of season 3.
And one 22 minute episode, everything's explained. Delaney, what are your reactions to The Legend Begins?
I really liked it. I thought it was really good. Yes, watching it, I was like, I'm watching Korra, which is never a bad thing when I'm watching Voltron, when I'm like, man, I'm watching Korra again. That makes me, like, that's pretty good. I just really liked it. I was right, which we will get into more later. I love these kinds of episodes. Like, I love origin episodes. I love flashback episodes. So I was all about this episode. And I don't know, I thought it was really well done. It was very pretty. And I just really liked it. I thought it was really cool. I wasn't bored. There's some slow bits in Beginnings in Korra and in part 1. But I thought this episode was pretty great. And I was just so excited to finally be told things. Like, yes, tell me things. Thank you. So, and also to be shown it. That was great. So I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for finally expositioning at us for once in the show.
Yes.
Justin, what are your Legend Begins reactions?
I think I learned more about Zarkon in 20 minutes than in 2 seasons.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, 100%.
And that's kind of all I have to say is this episode, after 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, I really want to see Zarkon as a villain. Completely forgetting we've already had 2 seasons of Zarkon as a villain, and it wasn't that great a villain. But now I'm like, okay, Zarkon can come back now. I'm ready.
Yeah, it's He's maybe back at the end. I guess that was our most eventful story thing in the present was Zarkon's waking up. So we need to talk about that too. Jeff, your thoughts on this episode?
I really enjoyed the callbacks to like season 1 and 2. For example, the pilot of the Blue Line is just as wacky as Lance is. raised a lot of interesting questions about Garwin society, which we can get into later. And beautiful animation, really, I think, referenced some, like, the big baddie in Princess Mononoke quite a bit. So, overall, really solid episode. Although, I'll get into my thoughts on this being the last episode of this little run at the end, because I'm not happy about that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm at DreamWorks and Netflix, not at Crew with those thoughts.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, totally, yeah. Totally.
Our spirit villain, very much a Mononoke spirit, the headless spirit for Guardian of the Spirit / No Face from Spirited Away, kind of a combination of the two.
And looked like Book Two Spirits, like you're talking about.
Which are all based on Miyazaki
stuff. It's all the same.
So, unsurprising, we're continuing to take Miyazaki mythology here in these important episodes. Yeah, I feel like we have some tepid takes here. So Legend Begins is, we've been complaining, why is anything happening on the show? What is anything? We've no answers, and suddenly they're throwing all the answers at us. We get answers to almost everything. It's great. It is a thrilling first viewing, watching this episode for the first time. It is like the most enthralled I've ever been by the show by far, on first viewing of this. It's great, gorgeous animation. It's, some really good storytelling. It gets worse on subsequent views. I just watched for the third time and it's not as good when you've heard it before and they're just throwing it at you. I still think it's probably the best episode of this show, probably by far. This is very exciting because it's potentially a new territory for Voltron. We're actually ready to get into some more narrative depth, because we have explanations for things, because it's hard to get too much narrative depth when nothing makes any sense. So now things kind of make sense and we can do some more interesting things. And this is really just a great conclusion to this, you know, quote unquote season three, this first half of the season, which is, the show has achieved way, new heights, and, it's been way better than it was before. So
I have a question for Justin, who's watched Voltron.
I have an answer.
Of past. Without getting into details, is this backstory stuff kind of lifted from the canon of that show, or is it new territory?
It's... Okay, so I don't know a lot about the ancient Voltron stuff, like the 10,000 years ago, because that show was this big universe where there were three different Voltrons of three different areas, and I don't think they ever got into like the original of that region. But the stuff from the end of the episode, I'm assuming some spoilers are fine, we can say it. The Hagar stuff, that was in the original show.
Cool. Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So we get confirmation. Hagar was married to Zarkon. She
also, who's shipping it? I'm shipping it really hard. Like, it's really bad. Like, I don't know why. Like, oh man, it's weird.
We never saw
like,
them I was like, be coupley. We just saw Zarkon kind of embarrassed around her.
They're cute. I don't know. Like, they're cute.
I ship it.
I'm definitely about Nerva.
Oh yeah, no, same, 100%.
She's like, I was, the best. Well, yeah.
No, I literally saw her and I was like, oh my god, it's Hagar. Like, yeah. I was about to lose my mind.
Right, so...
What's the ship name, though? What's the ship name?
Onerva and Zarkon. Is she Hagar or Onerva in the ship name? That's important, but...
I call her Onerva because that's so much prettier than Hagar.
Yeah, it was pretty... I also knew that she was Hagar at first. Jeff or Justin, you were in on this, too?
Not actually.
It seems pretty obvious.
She looks similar. The reveal is supposed to be when, at the end, it's been Decathebes, and then like she turns around, and then there's like a music cue, and she's like white hair. Now that was supposed to be the reveal. It's like okay, that's Hagar. And I think that was a great moment. It's like okay, yeah. Confirmed. Like this is definitely true.
Well, I think that's what I liked about the episode. And it's like, I mean, to me, it was very obvious because you know. Who is this random Altaian that Zarkon's like going like gaga over? Obviously, this is Hagar.
Yeah, I mean, if you but think then, about it, yeah.
Yeah, but then what was so great about the episode was how they built it up to finding out why she is the way she is. Like, how they, like, that was awesome. Like, I just love that whole build up. And then that moment was great, even though I was like, I already knew it was Hagar. Like, the delivery was still excellent. And just how they crafted everything and like brought it together to like we actually got to see how this happened, which is like awesome. I love that stuff. Like, yes.
Yeah, I agree. This episode is great because it provides a great story that builds us to a place that explains the events of the show now. Really satisfactory, really cathartically, and it's also just a great narrative of its own right. Like, that's why I think this is the best episode of the show. All of that is, it pays off incredibly well. We get the origin of Hagar and Zarkon, of the reason the state of the universe is today, the origin of Voltron, kind of an explanation of the composition of their universe with Quintessence. Really, this is, it's a ton of stuff we never even heard before, but yeah, it does a great job interweaving all of that, I think.
And the back and forth, because we have it with our team, we have... Team Voltron, and they're hearing the story, but then also through Hagar remembering, or I guess we'll talk about that more, is how she, like, when she's, yeah, like, trying to wake Zarkon up. So I really like that, was just how they tied it all together, because everything just felt so separate.
Yeah, we're presented two vehicles for seeing this past story. One is Kran telling our paladins about it, which we see on the bookends of the episode, and then also Hagar awaking Zarkon by, and she's also remembering. So
that's not really clear. I think, like, what is she like reading his memory or like? What?
Okay,
what
true. Yeah, yeah. She's either... So I believe that the episode is clear that she's waking him up, and also that she is somehow remembering what has happened, because at the end she says, "Husband, how could I have forgotten?" I agree. It's not clear whether she's reading Voltron Zarkon's past memories or her memories have unlocked.
I think because she, like, had to go into his mind sort of to wake him up. Like, that was just my read on it. I think she, like, through him, remembered everything.
Because she said, "Forgive me." And when did that? So it was obviously an invasion of sorts. So
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a good vehicle, although that doesn't tie into the episodes so much. Although I think it is a good way for us to see this backstory.
Also, great retconning.
Of what?
Of being like, why are they so weird? Why is she Hagar? I know it's been 10,000 years, so like, this makes sense. But that's kind of the interesting bit. Like, okay, now we're like, it's not really retconning, but it is.
Yeah.
Not in a really awful way. It's just, I think it was a great way to do that because, oh, she forgot. That's believable. It's been 10,000 years. I will buy that. Like, I'll buy, like, the whole thing. Like, sure, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So, definitely not technically retconning because Justin said it's from the original show. I definitely buy that this existed before the show. Like, there is.
Well, I'm talking, it's retconning in that they haven't been like, it wasn't. Oh, like, we're married, like that, like the way they've treated everything, it wasn't very like.
Yeah, it does a great job explaining the current state of affairs without contradicting.
That's what I meant.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. I don't mean like
opposite,
in the whole
opposite
thing.
Of retconning. Yeah, it's I think it was. I think that that's done very well. Whether it's satisfactory that they're like kind of immortal from Quintessence, so I think that's the good of the episode. The bad is that it kind of is pretty bleeping stupid that it turns out Zarkon's just pure evil from Quintessence exposure, and he's just he's just some purely evil being now. That feels very unsatisfactory. In the current, we saw him not being evil, and now he's just like. A pure evil vehicle of evil. I guess it's better if we can get him not to be anymore.
Well, who said it? Who said he was pure evil? That was
Kran. So it might be perspective.
Is obviously unbiased. So
right. So it might be a matter of perspective. I agree, but they definitely are different like beings than they were before. They have the purple eyes. They've been poisoned by Quintessence, dark Quintessence. The episode doesn't say that, but yeah, it's. That's the part that feels most unsatisfactory are when the explanation gets into, oh, this is kind of really stupid. Like, there's that. There's the fact that...
Okay, we're going to show you this really cool character, but it doesn't matter anymore because he's just dumb villain.
And I guess if they remember themselves, it maybe will start mattering. I have hope going forward. The other kind of really dumb thing about the episode was that Voltron was made without the intent of them combining. I definitely do not...
Right, okay, that's true.
Did not buy that at all.
Just turn
like
into
what kind of engineers are you doing?
Well, he's like
but that I'm a leg line was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That was maybe the best line in the episode.
They did say that this material, they said that it engineers itself. Yeah. So like they could make it work. They just need to show it really clearly. Like, whoa, the thing's just assembling itself.
The intent of the episode was that originally they were separate lions, and he said that the lions evolved so that they would have themselves constructed themselves in a way. They changed that so that they could combine. I still don't care. It's pretty stupid considering we've seen them combine all series, but they have explanations. They're good explanations.
The lions just decided. They're like, let's turn into a giant robot.
This episode continues this comet thing, which we started in episode 4, which it is really helpful towards explaining why Voltron is so OP. So I like that. It's still not clear to me why comet material means lions, have minds of their own and can form a psychic link.
I think that's the Quintessence.
There's a lot of things. The answer will be it's the Quintessence. And I don't think I think that is not really a satisfactory answer, but.
Well, I think we're, I mean, at the moment, no, but I do think, I mean, I'm just happy we're finally, like, they say Quintessence more than once in this episode. And that's exciting because beforehand it was like, what is this? We didn't even know what it was. We still don't know what it is.
So, yeah, let's go over the things that are... The answer is it's quintessence, too. Let's go over all those questions. So, why don't they need an energy source? Quintessence. Why do they have a psychic link? Quintessence. How did we bring Zarkon and Hagar back from the dead? Quintessence. How are them and Kova living forever? Quintessence. How do we go between realities? Quintessence. What are these spirit monsters made out of? Quintessence.
What is magic?
Probably. What is magic? Right. Is magic just quintessence? Probably. That seems like what's happening here.
I kind of don't want them to explain quintessence too much because I'm still bitter about midichlorians. So
that's fair.
I think the less they tell us about quintessence, I'm fine with that. Like, got it. It's a magical substance, trans reality, exists in these rare metals. Got it.
What is life itself? Quintessence, says Onerva. So
is the Force. So shush.
Right, so
it's literally the Force.
It definitely seems this seems in theme with like they're doing Star Wars, but I'd like potentially more in depth explanation, but at least like we know before we didn't even know what anything.
Well,
was.
I mean, I want more explanation into like how they're harvesting quintessence and like what they're using it for, and like the like good quintessence versus the bad quintessence. Other than that, I don't really care because it's the Force.
Yeah.
I'm right. That's the thing that matters. Voltron is made of quintessence. That's what matters. I was right. I've been telling since day one. I was right.
I don't know when you said that, but yeah, it's.
I've been saying it literally.
You have a lot of claims. You have a lot of claims. Voltron. I don't know if Voltron's made of quintessence. I think it runs on quintessence. It's made of the comet material. Is the comet material just like solidified quintessence? It could be. I don't really know. We haven't gotten an explanation on that, but yeah, it definitely is related at the very least. It definitely runs on quintessence. We had everything with... I can't believe I mentioned. So Onerva, we're naming what Hagar was originally, and she is a slight variation on Onera. I don't know whether this was intended. Was she Onerva in the original, Justin? Do you know?
I don't think they got into it. I think they were just like, she was an Altaian.
I think they made that name.
Good enough.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a callback to Onera being what the fandom called Zuko's daughter in Korra. But I thought that was very funny. You guys talked about this on one of the... This is one of the best moments of the Justin-hosted previous podcast when we talked about how our comet in episode 4 is just Sozin's comet again from Avatar. So
Lotor's comet!
Yeah, Lotor's comet. That was one of the great connections here. So, we have this comet. We see there's another comet previously. I don't know if it was the same comet. They talk about it like they're different comets. The one from episode 4 and then the one from...
In episode 4, they do say the second comet. Okay. So there are two.
This is the second comet.
The first one became Voltron. The second one became the ship.
Yeah. So that's kind of our narrative, like a launching off point here. Is the comets causing everything? If you take this episode and episode four is basically just a precursor to this, then it explains so much we didn't get previously on the show. We get different realities explained. Previously, it wasn't clear if Slav was just a nutcase or if they actually existed. That's confirmed here. And also,
Slav is still a nutcase, though.
Not an alternate universe Slav. I would say he's pretty normal. He's pretty cool. He's my fave now. New fave. We get like whatever within the rift is. It's not clear to me whether this is a between realities dimension or whether this is just another reality or another dimension. They also use dimension in place of reality sometimes, which is confusing. At the end, I think Pidge says that they are trying to harvest quintessence from other dimensions, or I don't know. I'll look in this. I have it all written down. But yeah, so we have this this place where the spirit creatures come from. That's kind of like, from my understanding of other lore, it seems to be an in between dimension space, and those are like in between dimension monsters. But they don't say that, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, they actually say it's... Sorry, go on.
Well, I was just gonna say, like, you know, from the previous when we were like in the ship, Like, I think it, like, it's, I think what they're saying is, like, quintessence is what binds everything together. So we have this quintessence in between space, but those monsters came from the other side because she was sending out, like, messages or whatever, and this responded. Like, I don't think this exists in the quintessence space. Maybe it was waiting to come back, but I think it is from the other side.
Jeff, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I was going to say some of the same thing. Like, they said, like, they sent a message in and this thing responded. So I guess we don't really know whether that's like an intrinsic property of the in-betweener, similar to the prophets in Deep Space Nine, these aliens that exist in the wormhole, or if they're just on the other side. So it's not clear.
Yeah. Nerva says, Honora says that, she sends a message out to the other side. Other side could be another dimension, could be the interdimensional space. I don't even know if they know. I'm not sure if, Onerva was aware of that. So it would be weird to have just spirit monsters floating out in an alternate reality, because we don't have them in our Voltron reality or the reality we went to in episode 4. Regardless, I don't think that matters that much. That's their spirit world, basically, is what that is. Like, we got the spirit creatures, it comes out, there's a portal, there's the rift, it's a portal, like, whatever. It's their spirit world. Ton of stuff here. We're talking about Onerva. I feel like she's the headline for me from this episode. Also, Kova. So, is this confirmed that this is our cat that we see with one of the generals?
At least it's the same species.
It wouldn't make sense for it to be the same cat. It's the
same cat.
Why not? The cat is immortal after it's infused.
But like, why is the cat with
right?
Whatever. Her
I think
name
that's
is.
An interesting question then, right? So
I have a theory.
Okay, theory.
So Hagar forgot that she was married to Zarkon, right?
Yes, she did.
So why would she remember Kova if she didn't remember Zarkon?
Yeah, she would not.
But then why
so
does
she forgot
she
Kova,
have,
the lieutenant
the
found
knows?
Kova. The lieutenant found Kova, like, wandering a Galra ship or something and adopted her, and now they're best friends, and prove me wrong, I dare you.
I mean,
you.
That's okay. A very basic theory, though. That's like, that's...
Here's what happened. 5,000 years ago, no, too long, 50, 60, 70 years ago, Lotor's getting his thing on with, like, he's, like, has his generals, and everything's fine in the Empire. And as a gift, Hagar gives the cat to the blind general. Then Zarkon or whoever institutes some purity policy, and Lotor's like, okay, stuff that. I'm leaving with all my misfits, and takes the cat with him. And now Hagar's really cut about that. It's like, no, my cat.
Yeah, I mean... I think it's the same cat. I don't know why we show us the two cats look the same, and then it's not the cat. So,
but it's just doesn't make. Like,
it's just an immortal. It's an immortal, cool alien cat. Like, that's awesome.
Well, I'm fine with that. It's just like the fact that like we have this cat and these generals we know nothing about.
I think the more interesting way to do it is that I'll find out the general's names again. I had this written down last time. But the general who has...
Narty,
who has the cat, would be in some way related to someone in this flashback. So that would be more interesting. Why does Narty have the cat? Maybe Narty is the daughter of Zarkon and Hagar. Maybe she's something else. I think level one is what Justin said. Narty just found it because Hagar doesn't remember. I agree. That's an easy explanation. And then level two is like, is Narty in some way related to?
Or maybe Kova is the real mastermind here.
Yes, I think evil cat. I think that's the way to go with this show.
I mean, I feel like yes.
So where do we stand on?
I've seen evil cats before.
Like in real life or in shows?
In shows, the Red Lantern, Dexstar.
Okay, great. So I think, where do we stand on Lotor being the son of Hagar and Zarkon?
I mean, I don't really understand why he wouldn't be.
We definitely have a lot of gaps in our flashback episode here where he could have fit.
Like, well, I feel like they purposely
find me a female Galra, and I'll say not.
No, because the only female Garin. I mean, I feel like there are female Garin in some wide shots in this episode, but It's yeah, I think that that's where we're going. Like, it's not...
Does he know that, though?
Right. I wonder. Because he might have been born... It's like, how old was he when this death and resurrection thing happened at the end of the episode?
Grant, he's been gone for a really long time. Like, they've said that. So it's... The question is he... Maybe he's immortal, too?
Yeah, not clear to me ages on the show. lifespans.
Well, I mean, when everyone's immortal, like... It doesn't matter.
So Zarkon and Hagar are immortal. The cat's immortal. No one else that we know of is immortal.
Here's a question I have. I was going to get into this later, but they go into the portal and they get glowy eyes, right? Before that point, every other Galran we'd seen had pupils. And now in present day, we see that none of their military personnel have pupils. They all have glowy eyes. So are they doing something to their military people to make them immortal?
Well, considering they have all the quintessence and, like, they're always harvesting it, like, we know they have it on, like, the command ship, so it would make sense if they're all exposed to it if this happens. And they could be using it as sort of a way to... Oh, another thing. Okay, so they could be using it, like, maybe they have, like, infusions or something, and they, like, that's how they do it. Also, I wasn't on that podcast, obviously, and I just watched the episodes today. Maybe they could be doing something like that to Shiro.
All right, we'll table the Shiro discussion, but, yeah, it's, there's definitely a design difference that's very notable between Zarkon of old and Zarkon of new. Zarkon of new is like purpler, I think. And yeah, the eyes are notable. So you're right that previously that's just how we thought Galrins looked. But Zarkon of old does not look like how we think Galrins look now, how the all the lieutenants or generals or whatever of Zarkon. So I would say that this would, if the design distinction is intentional and consistent throughout the history of the show, would indicate that all the other Galrins on the ship have been also poisoned by quintessence, probably by Hagar. We know she shoots Zarkon last season with quintessence. Maybe she does this to a certain extent to all of all the other Galrins in high command and makes them.
Does Lotor have pupils?
No. Yes, he does. He's normal.
Lotor looks. Yeah, and we noted this earlier that Lotor looked different. So we thought that would be because he was a hybrid of Altaian Galrin, but it also could just be that he's not. Quintessence poisoned. Yeah, so I think we have I think that is the reason why it's not definitive that he's Hagar's son, but that's still definitely like step one of the hurdle of Lotor is Hagar and Zarkon's son is that Hagar and Zarkon were together, and now we know that that's true. Step two is that that they had a child. So we
and did they forget that? I don't know. Like, the thing is, they know he's Zarkon's son. So, like, yeah, I don't...
Who did they assume the mother was?
Like, we know that, because, I mean, yeah, like, it's Zarkon's son.
Not even clear that... I mean, yeah, they say son, but, like, what does son even mean, you know? Like,
In son.
Could just be, like, adopted, you know, or...
Right.
Or just, like, a prodigy. I don't know. But it's definitely deliberate that they say son. It's really notable that all of the Galrins that we're exposed to are a kind of quintessence-poisoned evil... to me, this diminishes any sort of moral claims the show tries to make. If everyone's just like their mind goes, and then they're just they're just like automatically robotically evil. I don't know. Is Zarkon even at fault out of his actions anymore? Is he really evil if he doesn't have a choice in the matter?
He was responsible. Like, okay, it does kind of break the causal chain, but he was. Technically responsible for the events that robbed him of his agency.
Yeah,
so.
I agree with that. But yeah, if we're implying that Zarkon and every other Galrin we see just doesn't have agency anymore, then I don't think the show can really make moral claims, which I think is a bad thing.
Well, the question is, so like they say, like, oh, it made him evil. Well, in Karan said he's consumed with getting more quintessence. So the question is then, is he just driven by he's like addicted to it, he needs it to survive, or is it, if it is because of what happened to him, is it kind of like a parasite, and that's what it needs quintessence?
Yeah, it could be that he's not bound by this quintessence poisoning to do evil things just to get more quintessence, and he channels that because he's a bad person into doing evil things. It could be that he's not like pure evil, like Karan said, because Karan is biased, like Jeff said. So it might just be that he's just driven to gather the need Voltron to cross into other universes and get the purest quintessence possible, says Pidge. So maybe he's just driven to get pure quintessence, and that's it.
Granted, he didn't need to subjugate the whole universe to do that, but if you need to go everywhere to find things.
We should maybe assume that that was his choice, because if not, then there's...
I think he was subjugated to the universe to find Voltron.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but like that doesn't mean... Do you know where Voltron is,
yo? He already wanted to expand the Galar Empire before quintessence.
He said that.
Let's not completely give him a pass.
Yeah, he did. He did. I mean, he wasn't great beforehand, but he wasn't. Didn't seem like he was killing people. Also, there's the Age of Voltron, where they were going around actively helping people when they're Voltron. That happened like 5 seconds in the flashback, but that spread the lore of the legend of Voltron. So he was doing active good as well with his friends.
And they already had an empire.
Yeah, and not clear to me what the state of the universe was going into this. It seems like from us that Altea and Galra, Dibazol. By the way, very confusing that Dibazol and Galra. Dibazol is home to the Galran people. Altea is home to the Altean people. Not clear to me. Those seem like the two most powerful people in the universe. But also, they also said within their system. So there's other systems where they might not have had influence. Where does Galra's reach expand to right now? Is it go to other systems, or is it just within theirs? Anyway, these are the questions I had watching this episode multiple times. So we talked. Yeah, I think that was good stuff to get into, like what's the current state of Zarkon. But I think we should probably assume that he's just driven to get quintessence, and clearly he's not the same Zarkon that he was before. So. We talked about Onerva. We saw Allura's mom, and Allura being...
We saw baby Allura.
Baby Allura and Helmet.
That was cute.
Yeah. We saw King Alphor. I thought he was great in the flashbacks.
He was fun.
Yeah.
They were all fun. I liked all of the paladins.
Yeah, any comments on Lady Trigall, Blates, or Grigan?
Whoever was in blue, yeah, I liked him.
So
they're all color-coded.
Dragon is the yellow one who says, am I a leg? He was, I think, the standout. There's also Blates, who talks to the servant class and gets chastised by Zarkon. And then Lady Trigall is, like, making the toast when the comet comes. So, just Trigall.
I don't to think us. So self-indulgent.
Yeah. Trigall seems cool, though. But yeah, they're the green, blue, yellow. So I guess
the OG
green lion is always girl. Blue is always like Lance type one, and yellow is the comic relief. That's how it works, I guess. So
yeah.
Then why is Allura and the blue lion?
Well, now we've screwed things up. So that's all Shiro's fault. He screwed up the formation.
Ooh, Shiro.
Yeah. Thoughts on Dibazol? They kept showing this one background shot of Dibazol, which I think is one of the most gorgeous shots that the show's done. Just this like background painting of the planet. I don't know if we'd seen it before, but I don't know. It was also not clear to me at first that we're on Dibazol this entire time versus Altea, because we don't really know either place. But yeah, most of this episode did take place on Dibazol.
Well, I thought it was cool, and like it was really interesting, like interestingly designed, and then I liked how we saw like Dibazol in its prime versus like when it began to be corrupted and like destroyed by the rift. Cause they like showed those two, like they showed what happened to it. So I liked that. Like when he's going back.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a little bit of that in the beginning. Oh, thoughts on just the five of them being like these friends from different planets, these leaders who, like stop warring and so work together for the betterment of everyone, and those are the original lions. They're friends before they're paladins.
I'm cool with that. I'm
curious what the what this like? Do they have empires of considerable like size, or why are they like how equal are they?
Yeah, what's up with the Deltarian Belt, Nalquad, and Rignarath? What's up with those places? We didn't see any of those.
Well, I mean, I feel like that they've done a pretty obvious job of saying, like, all that matters are the Galra and the Altaians, not just for the purpose of the narrative, but like they're clearly the two powerhouses.
Yeah, those are places that matter. I agree. I think Anerva was a standout. She's great. She's like great in the beginning, and then we see her like become more consumed with the work, and then she's like less like caring about anything. And you like see the initial dynamic with Zarkon. I'd like to see more Onerva flashbacks, or maybe Hagar like reverts to Onerva a little bit. That'd be great. We'll see. We'll see if she regains any part of her past self. This concept that Alfor made the lions, I guess we knew this, but I don't know. He built them from the comet. Sure, I guess.
It's like Transformium, I think. It sounds like the same sort of material that just makes itself, you know?
Yeah, how much work did Lotor do versus, or Alfor do versus, Alfor do versus, the lines made themselves? Like, what was the original state? Because we know they can, like, recreate their structure. So, what did he really do here? Yeah.
He probably was just like, I'm gonna babysit these little lion robots as they grow.
I guess so. He made it seem like he did it. The fight against the spirit monster, I think it's, some of the best animation that, I mean, this is no surprise, but the show, the sequence, once Voltron is formed and then it fights the spirit monster, kind of comes together.
I'm a little confused about the Bayards.
Yeah, what are those things?
Like, there was no explanation, they just exist, and it's like, you don't know how any of this works. What?
Yeah, I think probably the lions form them on their own, but...
Like, here, carry these. Okay, whatever you say, lion.
Yeah, respond to the owner, which because goes... Shiro's changed.
Yeah. I don't know. You're right. There's no explanation on Bayards. That's a good point. The sequence, once Voltron's formed, fighting the thing, it like forms around the sword after it hits it. Then there's like the shot of like it firing lasers. Best animation we've gotten this year from any show. So I think that's no surprise. I guess,
you know, it looks really cool.
I guess the previous season of the show aired this year also. So, there's the like second or third to last episode, which was also incredible. But, yeah, this was Studio Mirror on top of their game for this episode, I would say. I think the fight was good, although a little, not necessarily any like super notable storyboarded sequences during the fight, other than like the final blow of the sword. What do you think, Jeff, of that sequence?
Yeah, I loved it. There was a bit of a tracking shot that reminded me a lot of Korra season 3 finale, just zooming through the sky. Like, it wasn't as long, wasn't nearly as long as that one, but yeah, similar sort of deal. It's great.
Yeah, definitely any like extended shot and Joaquin storyboarded that. Now this is Joaquin's show of an extended storyboarded shot like that will be notable. They don't want to seal the rift, continue the research. Quintessence, open the rift, live forever, rule the universe. I don't know. There's a lot of all these nondescript things said. And then war with Zarkon wakes up. So, what do we think of this? Like Zarkon, we think Zarkon's dead. We like are conveniently on his ship, and then
here's a little thing we kind of skipped over. Like when Zarkon convinced everyone to
the tricking of them.
Like, this is where. comic book physics gets you in trouble because if this had to be grounded in reality, anyone could say like, no, that makes no sense. Why would you open the portal to close it? But because we're in comic book land where anything goes, it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree. That was like, why do you blindly believe him? I do think the thought I had was it's interesting. It's an interesting thought.
How did he hide? How did he hide Anerva? That's the real question.
I mean, I don't know.
Did they just didn't see him smuggle her on?
She's already on the lion. I don't know. Whatever. They're in different ships. I think it's interesting how much authority the non-Black Lion people have in actions when they have formed Voltron. I does being in Voltron make you have some sort of groupthink that would make this thing easier? I had that thought too.
Well, it seemed harder for them to like. That scene was particularly striking because the head is like dipped down because obviously no one is in the Black Lion. And I was thinking about that too, because they were using the thrusters, and part of it was also the angle of the scene, but I think this is kind of an interesting, like, this might be some foreshadowing of later, kind of maybe some Keith and Shiro conflict with, like, controlling the lions and, like, you know, the team. Because they were able to, like, we know they can independently do things. But it's interesting kind of, like, how awkward that looked because they, like, because no one was in the Black Lion.
Mm, yeah, that's true. They were piloting without anyone in the Black Lion. That is notable.
Mm. That explains the weird stance they had, like, pushing with their hands and legs because they didn't have back thrusters.
Yeah.
They were just using the legs. It was really weird.
We need more explanation on the particulars of how Voltron is piloted. That's what we're saying here.
I mean, it makes sense that, I mean, I remember, well, they had issues, like, back in season one. It was like, you know, they were trying to figure out how to walk and stuff, like you know, having to move the legs and, like, how to do all that. Yeah. So, I mean, we know they independently do everything, but... Though I do think the group thing is definitely something, like, we'll have to see more of. Because especially, I think what was really interesting was when they were, when they first formed Voltron, they're like, oh, I feel it, or whatever. And it's like, okay.
If we're going to impose, like, any sort of realism on this, there has to be a psychic link. Because there's no way, even with any kind of training, you can get fluid movements that we've been seeing with Voltron.
Yeah, and they picked it up really fast too.
Also, there's, like, how much of it is, like, them, and how much of it is really the lions? Like, that's the other thing too.
Yeah, definitely a lot of this episode gave a lot of credit to the lions, I think too.
like, do the lions need paladins? Like,
yeah,
they do an awful lot on their own.
Free the lions. We're starting that.
Free the lions.
Starting that movement. Okay, yeah, and then Zarkon wakes up on the ship. Then he goes war with Altea. Sends Alphor. Alphor sends the lions away to keep them from Zarkon. Kills Alphor. Destroys Altea. We'd heard all that before. Yeah. And then we get this explanation, needs Voltron to cross other universes and get the purest quintessence possible. I don't know, I didn't really get that from the story, so I guess Pidge is smart. And, Pidge, I mean, didn't really say that. It's not like Kran said that when he's telling the story. I don't even know if it was really implied either.
Well, I mean, just the quintessence, I guess.
I get the quintessence, like, okay.
I don't really understand why they have to go to other, like,
yeah.
realities yeah, well, to get it, though. Did they say something? Like, are they running out of quintessence?
No, we didn't say
I don't
that.
Understand.
Yeah.
Have we ever said that in the show?
I don't think so.
I mean, the more you get, the more you can spend, and it seems like Hagar's, like, gonna use it for everything.
It's not an unreasonable conclusion that
is it not a renewable resource?
Like Enerva initially wanted to open up to keep the portal open to get quintessence from the other reality, so I guess that, like, makes sense to think that Voltron would want to continue to do that. I do think it's, like, a leap of logic, but whatever. Pidge is smart.
It could also be not just quintessence, but also just, like, metaphysical, like, knowledge, because, like, she learned all her sorcery and everything from that. It wasn't just harvesting the quintessence, it was learning how to use it, I think.
Yeah.
And now that source of knowledge is cut off.
I mean, it wasn't really, like, clear exactly what she was learning, but...
She kept doing research. We didn't really see
I think it was, like, everything we see her doing, all her mind reading, all her sorcery, I think came out of that, which is where this is cool. It kind of goes into, like, the, like, Thor territory. It's, like, it's not magic. It's just super advanced science.
Yeah. I think the show always has, wanted to do Thor territory with that. Magic just being advanced science. I agree. That's interesting that everything... Hagar does was part of things with her research with quintessence. It could also be, I wonder if her having memories back, maybe her memories, maybe not, would enable her to do more things now. Maybe she'd remember more of her research, so maybe Hagar will be even more awesome now.
Well, I guess the question would be, can Allura learn to do the things that she does? Because I'm assuming, I think we've established that the reason she can do the things she does is because she's Altaian.
Mm.
Yeah, there's that element too, from the season 2 finale.
But there were also her, like, evil witch assistants, which I'm curious, like, are they aliens that look like that, or did she modify them to look like that, and what's up with
them? Yeah, what's up with the where did the druids come into play here? So, well, maybe we'll get explanations on that. Okay, let's...
Like, did you just create a cult? Like,
I think yes. I think the cult of Hagar. That's what's going on here. So, and if they didn't know that they were married, then they're just there? Like, what...
I don't know, like, how, like,
no,
I
we
mean,
just
I
hang
guess,
out a lot, like,
I mean, it's weird. I mean, it makes sense in that, like, I mean, they've been alive for so long, But then, and also, I guess the contestants could also have, I mean, we could almost, maybe even a like when it happened, like when they woke up, they didn't know.
That could be.
Because of whatever the quintessence or bad quintessence did to them.
Yeah, I definitely get the impression when they wake up from being they're dead and they're not dead, they don't have any memories of past stuff.
And it's also possible when they say forget and remember, it's not literal sense. It's like, oh, you know, that was just in the back of my head, but I didn't really like dwell on it until now. Like I always knew, like, okay, yeah, of course we were married and he woke me up, but that doesn't matter now. But it's like, oh, no, it's actually, You saved my life.
Yeah, it could have just been so long. Yeah, that's interesting
too. I mean, I do think it's been 10,000 years, and I think the legitimately forgetting is like 100%, like, I'm sold. Yeah, that makes sense.
We have no data on people who live that long.
My impression of the events was that it was literally erased from their heads by the quintessence poisoning, but it also could have just been that they forgot, yeah. So.
I mean, I'm okay with this.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk some broader theories from the season. Let's check in on that now that we have a lot more data from this episode. So let's start with this Dark Voltron theory Justin brought up.
Yay!
So this theory, in summary, is they get Lotor gets the second coming of Lotor's comet. This is the material that was used to make Voltron. He now has it. So what could he do? He could make another Voltron.
But he didn't.
But he made a ship. But
or did he?
That ship was small, the comet was big, and also that could just be a lion. I think
what
dark lion.
Couldn't that just be like one of the lions? They're just not literal lions this time. They're just ships.
Well, I think the kind of the way they're going with it, it seems that like okay, so he built a ship, and they have they're trying to build a teledove. So I think he's just trying to go somewhere. I mean, get the stuff. But he needs a ship that can go fast and, like, avoid Voltron. Like, I don't think he was trying to... Like, I don't think he could build a Voltron. Like, he couldn't build Voltron.
The show has not said anything about Dark Voltron. This is, like, an assumption. It's like, okay, he now has the same material that is used to make Voltron. He right. can just make a Voltron.
But I don't think he can.
I guess he would need an alchemist for that.
Yes. Or, like, something like anybody who would be, like... Like, I don't think he's capable. Like, I don't think they can.
I wouldn't be surprised if he could. He's potentially half Altaian. He's pretty cool. Maybe he can do this too. Maybe he's also good at alchemy. What's your take on this now that we've seen episode 7, Justin?
I'm still on board. Like, even if it... I feel that even if it's just the one ship, the angles that we saw on the ship made me think that possibly the ship itself can transform to an extent, not fully Voltronized.
It's
but
a little
kind of,
tiny Voltron.
Right. And I think that even if it doesn't become like a full Voltron, it's still, I still stick by the Dark Voltron idea, and especially the idea that Shiro will end up piloting this at some point. And that kind of shifts to Shiro theories, but I mean, come on. It's basically a sixth lion at this point.
And
I wouldn't be surprised if we see it combined with Voltron.
Oh
God.
Interesting. New Voltron. Ooh.
I don't want
what
this.
Would the, what
no.
would the new,
as like a parasite thing.
What would the new body part be?
It could just be like a weapon. It could just literally be Megatron.
Yeah, you'll take that as you will. But it's... So here's why Dark Voltron is happening.
No.
Here's why it's yes. because we are in book 2 of Korra right now, and
no, it's stupid. We already went through it once.
Had beginnings. Beginnings in Korra had the two original spirits that make up one makes up the Avatar. One is like the source of evil. Now we have the two comets in our version of beginnings in Korra. One made up Voltron. This new one will be our source of evil and will be our dark avatar. Lotor is our villain who will not be named and will combine with this ship in some way to form like a one-person Voltron or something. Or he has generals that will form with him. Either one. But yeah, we're definitely doing this.
No.
Yeah.
I think that ship was basically designed just to look like the ship he already pilots. So he like wanted it to look like something he was already comfortable with.
I want a really cool, indestructible ship. Yeah.
And I do think it's reasonable that Shiro would pilot. We get a new super ship at the end of last season. We're like, okay, if Shiro's not going to be one of the balance anymore, we need him to pilot something else. Here's a convenient new, cool ship that's made of the same material. Voltron, Shiro could totally pilot this.
And because Shiro is a Galran clone, he can pilot.
Okay, we'll talk that. But Yeah, and it might. I also think it's very possible that this is like not just. It's not like the meteor was just made into the ship. Like, I think the ship was smaller than the meteor, so it could have been there could be other ones coming. Let's talk this Teledove in the fourth episode. So, I think the paladins in the fourth episode speculate that he doesn't have an Altaian to operate the Teledove. You guys in that podcast were talking about who's going to be the Altaian, but if Lotor is the son of Hagar, he could be the Altaian to operate the Teledove.
Yes, because he could be half Altaian.
So I don't think that's really a problem.
No.
Yeah.
Also, there's a chance any of the people he's with could be half Altaian.
What?
I doubt it.
Yeah, because yeah, they're all half-breeds. Yeah. So what is the reason that he has a Teledove? Do we have theories on that?
Well, like, I don't, like, we just know it can be used to make wormholes with, you just move across the universe with them. That's how they move the castle. I would assume that, in light of the new information that we have, that he wants to try and turn the wormhole into a way to, did Voltron travel through the Teledove?
Yes, right?
Isn't that how they travel? And they have the same looking wormhole that.
Well, no, I meant. Well,
At the end of last season.
Voltron formed as Voltron. Yeah. Because when you think. Because, like, potentially, if you can turn the Teledove into a way to pass to the realities, right, yeah. If you have transdimensional material. So, in theory, I feel like Voltron could pass through a Teledove using its transdimensional material and be able to pass into another reality.
Yeah, so you have...
in theory is what I'm assuming what they want to do with the Teledove and their fancy new ship.
You have the Teledove from last season. The Teledove was the way to jump large distances or something. I don't even remember, but...
they just used it to travel, and they were using it to get the ship where they wanted it to be.
Yeah, you force it to go somewhere else. So you just infuse this with quintessence or infuse it with the meteor, and now this is a reality, trans-reality portal. So I think that's probably what he wants to use it for, yeah. Pallets his ship through, his ship's made of the Voltron material, there you go. So, I think we know Lotor wants the comet, we know that he kind of knows what it's for, it's not clear what Lotor's intentions are, or we know, like, Zarkon wants to gather quintessence, is that what Lotor wants to do, or does Lotor have some other motivation here, so...
I feel like he has a different motivation. There is so much emphasis on how he's not his father.
Yeah. He's not just quintessence, bound.
Yeah. Also, I think another thing that would be like, it's not Dark Voltron. And also, Lotor just cares about him and his little squad. And I think the ship is more evidence of that, is because the ship is perfect for his little crew. It's just him and his crew on his little ship. Yeah. And I feel like he just plans for him and his little groupies to just leave.
Just go to, he's like, this reality sucks. Go to a different reality. Yes. Yeah, that's his whole plan.
There we go.
He's like, I never fit in here. Let's talk Shiro. So we got into, Justin and Haley got into this last Voltron podcast. Shiro's back, but it was very weird how he was introduced to us again.
Super Akko.
He just randomly wakes up on a Garan ship again. He escapes.
Which I actually thought that was like a flashback. Like, wait,
me too. I was really confused. Yeah,
the entire episode, I was thinking.
Yeah, I also thought it was a flashback at first. Yeah, I think it's potentially intentional. But so here's some possibilities. Either this is just our Shiro. He was picked up by the ship. Why didn't the rest of them know about it? I don't know. Zarkon's out of command anyway. Just Shiro was being prisoner on that ship. Whatever. It's our Shiro. Another possibility is that. This is our Shiro, but he was he was part of a secret project. He was infused with some sort of thing, like mind control device, on this new Garan ship, and now he is the Winter Soldier. And if once Zarkon wakes up, he can activate a thing, and he can turn Shiro into evil Shiro. Another possibility is this is a clone of Shiro, but either made when he was last on a Garan ship, or whether he was picked up on a Garan ship now, and potentially our Shiro is still MIA. Jeff, do you have a which of the three or four do you like, or none of them?
Definitely the first one's out. I think his voice inflection when he came back was very like deadpan, and also like he was giving some non Shiro advice, it seemed, to the team, like, to be way more cautious and by the book than you'd expect from a season one or two Shiro. So, but I don't think that's malicious. I don't think that's like bad programming. I think that's just they something's not there. Like the spark that made Shiro Shiro was not correctly replicated. Whether he's actually a full on clone or whether he's just has programming, I really don't know. And I still don't know why and how he got disappeared from the ship in the first place or from the lion. So that is all a big unknown. So I do think something's up with his arm, though. I think that's going to be a factor. Like maybe there's a bomb inside now. Who knows?
Yeah, and none of these explain what happened in the season 2 finale anyway, so there's that.
That's the yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be more in-depth than anything we're saying here, but in general. Delaney, do you have a favorite of these ones?
Well, my favorite is Winter Soldier, because I think that's 100% what's going on. He's just a little sleeper agent. When they're like, phase 3, like, what are you doing? Like, what have you done to him? I think the clone thing is interesting, but I don't think he's the clone. I think we saw the clone. Does that make sense?
Explain that.
So I'm assuming the clone theory comes from that scene where, I mean, it's a very weird scene. I'm not sure even if we saw like an actual thing or if he was just remembering, but when he's trying to escape the ship and he looks down that corridor, and that's when we see like, it's obviously Shiro, and the way it looks, it's like our Shiro is looking at this Shiro, and you're like, is this happening or is this a memory or what? And that's when like the thing is filling up with fluid, but we see from the angle where Shiro is standing another Shiro.
There are two variants of the clone theory. One of them is that our current Shiro is a clone. Another is that original Shiro was a clone.
That's interesting. Mm. I think like cloning is like, I'm okay. Like there could be clones. I don't think this Shiro is a clone, but I think that scene, I mean, it's weird. Like, is it a memory? Is it not? But I think there could be clones. But I think I'm sold on the Winter Soldier theory. That makes the most sense with like the phase 3 stuff.
Yeah. Justin.
Granted, if we start like talking more, like I feel like if you just interrogate him for 5 minutes, you could pretty much find out if he's a clone or not, because he's like, I don't remember anything. And then it's weird though how he like knows stuff. I'm assuming they just told him everything that's happened, because like the way he acts, like, oh, we're gonna get the ship and Lotor. It's like, where have you been? Like, you've been asleep. Like,
yeah, it's weird. Like, it's like, oh, you're back. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I think regardless, we aren't presented with enough information. Justin, where do you stand right now?
I'm still getting off my Young Justice kick, so I have to go clone.
Okay. Clone.
That's where I stand, is clone.
Yeah. I think probably they're doing something weird that we don't have enough information for yet, but
it could also be a weird combination of everything.
Yeah.
Alternate reality Shiro.
Okay, it could be another reality Shiro as well, yeah. That's true.
That'd be kind of weird though. Like, I don't know how they'd that'd get kind of dicey.
I mean, I think they already got dicey.
Having seen Fringe, we can make this work.
I think they already got dicey by bringing in alternate realities, as we see with other shows. But I think given the information we have now, Sleeper Agent's the best one. But, you know, like Shiro, I think this is maybe a Lotor project. He intends Shiro to pilot his ship, but his new ship, but for his cause. So he'll turn on the Winter Soldier, and then Shiro will fight them in the new Voltron ship, and he'll like be evil Voltron or whatever. And maybe
With the alternate reality Shiro, I think we can debunk it immediately, just because like the chances of there being another alternate reality where he's the Black Paladin and he fought Zarkon and like all that stuff.
I think that's very high, that there'd be a very similar alternate reality. I mean, we don't really know how those work.
Probability, no, but like in narratively wise, I sure. But like in actual,
I think
like,
somewhat Slav has said there's just a ton of very, very, very similar alternate realities that change. I think they're going off of like you make one decision that just creates another alternate reality. So I think there's probably just like
it could.
Yes, Justin.
It could be a combination. It could basically be a sleeper cell, but it's basically similar to the clone theory of. They told him everything he needs to know, but it's an alternate reality. So basically, they steal this Shiro from an alternate reality, and then they reprogram him, basically. So it's revealed, like, he has this entire life he knows nothing about. He was never a paladin, which is why the Black Lion won't let him fly, because he was never a paladin in the slightest.
But then the Black Lion does respond to him and finds him.
Yeah.
But is that because Shiro called to it, or is that because Keith said find Shiro?
Yeah, on one hand, he can't pilot the back line anymore. That's sketchy, means it's not our Shiro. On the other hand, the Lion
does. I'm just going to leave that there. Mic drop. Yeah,
the Lion does try to find him. It could be Keith.
Well, I think it would make more sense that the Black Lion can sense there's something wrong with Shiro, but I think it might just be like the sleeper cell thing. But by that same token, like, he might, like, the Black Lion's chosen Keith. Maybe the Black Lion's like, I'm tired of this. Like, I'm sticking with one. I can't deal with this.
I think the original, the base level explanation of Keith's the new pilot, Shiro's done, is fine, too. I don't think it needs to be evidence. This isn't, like, mandatory evidence that Shiro's, there's something wrong with Shiro. It could just be the Black Lion has now chosen Keith, and it's done with Shiro. I think that's fine.
There is evidence that there's going to be, that he is a duplicate, and it's just the fact that, they gave him an updated costume, like with a missing sleeve. So now we can easily tell them apart when the original shows back up.
Two Shiros, yay! By the way, random note: when Shiro woke up and he had facial hair, I found that to be very jarring animation. And
yeah, it's like, how long has it been?
Well, there's logic, but there's also I think it just looked very dissimilar to anything else on the show's animation style.
Oh no,
it looked really weird. I didn't like it.
I meant like. I didn't think it had been that long.
Right, yeah. Not clear how long it's been.
I mean, the hair would be the bigger concern, because facial hair could be just a couple of days. But the long hair was the question there.
Yeah.
So we will speculate more on this later. It's going to be very interesting. Let's talk season as a whole. Delaney, generally pleased with the season or not?
I'm very pleased with the season. This is probably the most interested I've been in Voltron in the entire time I've been watching it. I really enjoyed it. I think it's been much more fast paced. It's been much more interesting. There's been some stuff going on. Like, I've really enjoyed it. Also, all I wanted was Allura to be a paladin, and that happened. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, all I wanted was Allura to be a paladin, and that happened. That was a pretty small part of the season, but it was glorious. Was it the Allura flirting with the Lion moment one of the best moments of the season? Thoughts, okay. Delaney?
I expected it. I was like, when she was like, I have to think like Lance, I was like, here it comes.
It was great, though. Okay.
Though the whip, when she was fighting with the whip, that was like awesome.
So, best season of the show. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, okay. I think this is leaps and bounds, even with just seven episodes, better than definitely 100% all of season one. And then, I mean, season two is better, but I do think season three, like, just this part, I'm really excited to see season four, which is really just the rest of season three. But I think this is leaps and bounds better than the previous seasons.
Yeah. Given all of this is given the caveat that this is not a complete season, this is just half season, but from what we've seen so far, Justin, best season of the show?
Best season of the show. And honestly, they'd have to try really, really hard to screw it up to make it not the best season. Like, I'm assuming season four is going to be about six or seven.
Six episodes, yes.
We've had really, really, really solid episodes in this first half. And literally all six of them would have to suck for it to be worse than the other two seasons, because this has just been so incredible. Like, I was honestly blown away, and I was jealous of you the entire time, because you've been gone. You just got to binge it right away. And I've had to wait like days between watching episodes.
Yep. Did get to binge it.
So yeah, I really enjoyed the season.
Agree, Jeff, or disagree?
Well, I think the episodes are fantastic and best run of episodes that I've seen. This is not the best half season. This is the best quarter season, because it's really silly how they keep dividing this up. You know, back in my day, shows were 20, 22, 26 episodes, and that's how they produced them and that's how they aired them. But now they decided they're going to split it up and get two seasons for the price of one. And now Netflix is like, no, we're going to get four seasons for the price of one. And it's not cool, because like, I finished episode 7, it's like, great, and then no, get no more. So
back in my day, yeah.
Get off my lawn.
So update. So briefly getting into this, I got into this a little bit in the first podcast. This show definitely has 26 episode production cycles. That being said, I am confident that the writing crew is aware that Netflix divides it into groups of 13. I am not sure. Like, it's the same thing with Steven Universe. Steven Universe has 52 episode production cycles, but they're aware of what Cartoon Network is doing and that they're dividing into 26. I don't know if they are writing with the intent of 13 or 26. Someone has told me 13. I haven't seen that definitively in an interview. Someone link me if you've got it. But it's a big difference between the 13 things, which is they know what they're doing. This, they didn't even know when they're writing it that they would do the 7 and 6 thing. So this is a big difference, is making this.
And I guess it comes down to the merit of dividing it like this. Like, what's the point? Who does it benefit? And is it worth
it? So the explanation given in an interview I read was that Lauren and Joaquin said this would let them get the episodes out faster. So maybe the next 6 weren't ready yet in September. So they would have had to delay it until October or something. But now they can just release this half and then the other half. I have no problems with dividing the release into 2 chunks. I think that's potentially a fine idea. I don't know. You don't need to Netflix dump the whole season. I think that's arbitrary. I have a problem with calling it another season. Season 4, like, just call it season 3 part 2. Like, for marketing purposes, if it's a new season, that sounds better, but it is deceitful to call that a separate season.
And yeah, like, maybe as long as they're experimenting with stuff, why don't they experiment with just releasing them 1 episode a week? Like, now you've spaced it out.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that. It's very anti-Netflix release, but yeah, Netflix could maybe.
They only do that for their live shows. Like, not live action, like, they're live shows, like Chelsea.
Yeah, they have a talk show or two now, and yeah, they'll do that for that. But at least Netflix is starting to potentially explore not a season dump, but yeah. Anyway, so this is by far the best run of episodes the show's had. Yeah, it's I think it's like potentially leaps and bounds better than seasons 1 and 2. This season 3, I think all 7 episodes are good. I don't think that was true. I mean, I think there's no bad episodes of Ultron, but there are a lot of episodes that are like fine. I think every episode here is actively good this season. So, that's a big improvement. I think the season has the 2 best episodes of the show. It has, just the best overall quality, and it is just way more interesting in general. Bringing this Legend Begins into play was very necessary. Bringing episode 4 into play is very necessary. And even other than that, they're doing some more interesting things with stuff in general. So by far the best season of the show, I think. Episode ranks. Let me give you the... I don't need to, like, 1 to 7 ranks from you all. But how about, Delaney, what's your top tier of episodes for the season? What stands out to you?
I guess... I'm trying to see. I really liked The Hunted.
Okay.
Like, I just really enjoyed that episode, like, the design, all of it. I mean, honestly, Tailing a Comet, too, just, like, it was really nice to have kind of, like, this, like, we had the Paladins, and then we also had Lotor Squad, because I'm really interested in them and seeing more of that. Ooh, and then, I mean... Changing of the Guard, too, just because, like, honestly, Lotor's part of that episode is just enough to make that episode really great, but even, like, kind of the struggle they were having was pretty good. So, yeah, I don't know, it's hard. The only episode I really wasn't, like, a super big fan of is The Journey.
Shiro Alone?
Yeah, it was just so slow. And I think it is I think narratively it is a departure from the rest of, like, this little chunk of episodes. And it's very different than a lot of the episodes we've seen with Voltron. And, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I just didn't enjoy it a super ton. Granted, I'm not overly attached to She-Ra. And it was just really weird in the beginning, and it was kind of hard to follow. And then we just kind of had these, like, 2 throwaway characters on an ice planet.
Okay. So what's the best episode of the season? Is it this one, the flashback?
I think it's The Legend Begins. Yeah. Like, I was super interested in that episode. I can't think of a bad part of the episode. I think looking at all the episodes, I could probably nitpick pieces here and there. I don't think I can nitpick The Legend Begins. I loved it. It was really interesting. It has all the pieces that I like. And, I mean, and for a flashback episode, it's incredible. Like, it's so good. And I really liked it. I do think The Legend Begins is the best so far.
Cool. Yeah, Jeff, what's your best episode of the season and which episodes stand out to you the most?
My best episode may be The Hunted, actually.
Yeah, high five, Jeff.
I love the artwork in it, like the eerie, like you're seeing the glowy eyes through the mist. The different like the mechanisms that they introduce with this weird ice planet thing. And the dogfighting, the animation there was incredible, like with Lotor's ship just pounding them. Like it was satisfying to learn everything from Legend Begins, but I don't think it has as much rewatch value as The Hunted. Plus also I watched the Hunted with someone else who was a total stranger to the show that I totally like converted to the show from that episode. Nice. So there you go.
Yeah. I will.
Also, yeah.
Legend Begin definitely loses on rewatch. I can confirm. But yeah, any others for you?
Tailing a Comet. I like that. Again, with Delaney, the journey was kind of lower on the ladder. So also Hole in the Sky. I didn't really care for that.
Yeah, I didn't really like.
I shall defend later. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm ready for it. That's why we gotta like be like boo right now.
Yeah. Justin, these are different opinions that Delaney and Jeff have espoused than what you and Haley were saying. So, what's your best ups of the season? What are your top tier?
My top tier, I'm just completely opposite Delaney. I really like The Journey and Hole in the Sky. And then I really like Legend Begins, but I think Journey might have been my favorite of the episode.
Okay.
It was just really good to me.
Nice. Cool. So those are your three. Are those your three top tier? Journey, Hole in the Sky, Legend Begins?
Yeah, those are my top.
Yeah. Okay, so Legend Begins is the best episode of the show and of the season, although... a lot of it is because of context of the show and not necessarily because of the episode itself. It's hard to separate. Next is Hole in the Sky. So I said this on that podcast. I sent comments to Justin. I think a lot of the pushback was very valid. I think that it's like there should have been two episodes. There's too much there. It's kind of like superficial. A lot of we get into. I think that it was kind of refreshing to see a lot of the typical things that we dwell upon glossed over pretty fast, like Allura made up her mind pretty quick that these Altans aren't the real ones, and it's like, oh yeah, slavery is bad, okay, you guys are done. I kind of just enjoyed that the subversion of how fast she was able to overcome that. I just think in general we tried things in Hole in the Sky narratively which were much more complex than anything we'd done in the show up until Legend Begins. Just the use of this different dimension, the different reality, the reality. Yeah, even I don't know if we're using those separately or not, but I think we had this discussion with Star too. What's the difference between like dimension and reality? Anyway, just the use of the comet stuck in and the ship stuck between the things. It's just such a Doctor Who concept. Like I felt like I was watching a Doctor Who episode, and I loved that. It was very similar to the recent Doctor Who season finale. Not like very similar, but kind of like a two halves type thing. Just the bringing in the alternate universe, Slav and Shiro, I think were excellent. I think just seeing the Altaians, the moral quandary explored there. Yes, superficial. Yes, there's not a lot of depth to it. Yes, it should have been two episodes. I was just way more interested in everything that happens. It's definitely not a flawless episode, and I'm not saying anyone's wrong by not thinking it's in the top tier, but for me, this is the second best episode of the show and of the season. Just much more interested in anything that's happening here than I had previously, and much more... much more narrative complexity of concept. How about that? Even if we don't get into the execution of that. Other than that, every episode's good. I think I would go next. Potentially Journey, potentially Tailing a Comet. I think those are the next two after that. Then probably Changing of the Guard, and then Red Paladin or Hunted. I wasn't as in love with Hunted, much like Justin and Haley. But the second half is very good. Overall, all of them are actively good. My top five of the show is Legend Begins 1, Hole in the Sky 2. I guess I have the episode names here. So the season, the Return of the Gladiator 3 from season 1. Then 4 is Collection and Extraction from season 1. And 5, whatever, pick your favorite season 2 episode, either Blackout or Greening the Cube. So there's my top five Voltron episodes. But I realize that my opinion on Voltron episode quality is largely different from others. And also, all of us have just disagreed with each other. So it's not, I don't think it's just me. But the show's hard to pin down on consensus opinion. Okay. Overall, though, I think the main point is that we all think that The season's great. We're on a great track here. Very interested to see what the next six episodes are. We have a lot of potential getting into new things with what we explored here, with Shiro, with the new Paladins, with LOTOR, with the one thing is that we had great introduction to LOTOR's generals, but we didn't do that much with them. So I'd love to see more in the next six episodes with all of them. Maybe they're the Dark Voltron pilots, maybe not. Yeah, I'm looking.
There are some interesting theories I can come up with from the season four trailer with that.
What's the brief version of them?
Possibly that Narti is going to get attacked by LOTOR.
Narti attacked by LOTOR. Why?
Well, from a couple of scenes in the trailer, like her notable absence in a few scenes where LOTOR's attacking somebody and her notable presence in others. Mm. I don't know.
That's interesting. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to know why we do that. Any other thoughts from the trailer from what we saw that played after you watched them on Netflix, but then annoyingly you couldn't go back to it. So if you clicked out, you were done forever.
I think that's why mine didn't play. I forgot really to weird. Let it play all the way. So I was like, no wonder it didn't like trigger for me. Cause I like backed out before. I was like, wait, there's like a trailer.
There is a trailer for all of season three. It's in a different language, but it's got some interesting tidbits.
Okay. Maybe we'll have before season four, ... a new speculation podcast we'll get into. We'll see in those six episodes. Delaney, final thoughts on this episode and the season?
It was awesome. Baby Lure was super cute. All of it was great. I don't know. I'm just really happy with the season. I think this is the happiest I've been with Voltron. I'm like, I actually like Voltron. This is great. Took a long time to get here. Need more Pidge. That's my only complaint ever. So, yeah.
Yeah, really not a lot of Pidge and Hunk these seven episodes. I will say that.
There was some total arm leg, though, going on.
You mean
so much
head arm slash whatever.
It's arm. It was headlock. That was the new one. Headlock.
Yeah, we had some ramping up of that a little bit. I will say my George name also has a flaw because they're not necessarily red and blue anymore. So that's kind of predicated on that. So we really
it's super confusing. Like what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we're going with that. So anyway, Justin, final thoughts on all of this?
I thought it was a really good season and a good finale. I think I'm really excited for what we get next. And yeah, I'm hype.
Hype. Yeah. Jeff, what about you?
Three things that are very disjointed. One, I'll just reiterate that I really didn't enjoy watching the season in this way. The fact that I had to stop now. It's like, no, give me more. Because it was that good. Two, it's just, it needs to be said, I cannot get over the fact that they animate LOTOR's eyebrow and eyelashes over his bang thing. It really bugs me every time I see it. And I don't know.
That. I relate to this.
Like, if it's a stylist choice just to make it look like the hair's not solid, okay, but that doesn't come off well. Or whatever. And third, very random, but I was rewatching episode two, and there was a little turn of phrase that is just so awesome that I can't believe I missed the first time when LOTOR said to Narti, go to the planet and speak with their leader. It's like, no, she's not talking to the leader. She's going to use the leader and speak with him. Like, using him. It's like, that's so creepy.
It's like an evil pun going on there. Nice.
Yes, very evil pun.
Telepathy, yes. Takeover, mind control pun. I like it. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about it. Cool.
My interest in Voltron's a lot higher. I'm glad we finally got everything explained. I do think The Legend Begins, just the prominence of the explanation points out a lot, like just makes all the previous flaws come to light even more, to be honest. But it's okay. We're past that now. We have explanations for things. The show is more interesting. We brought on LOTOR and the generals, who are more interesting characters. We've reshuffled things in an interesting way. I will say I was kind of pretty hard on the show at the end of season two. I call it a kind of joyless. I still think that's a little true. I have definitely way less fun watching this show than I do a lot of other shows we cover. I think that's a problem. I think this show is more intelligent and like better crafted than a lot of other shows we cover, but I don't think it's like as much fun, which it doesn't need to be fun specifically, but I do think it needs to be something. And maybe we're starting to get there. We're not there yet, but this is a big step forward for Voltron. So, would love to see the next six, but we will have to wait until a month from, is it exactly a month from now? Yep, exactly a month from this podcast, or 2 months from, 2 months from this podcast. So,
I was like, is it in November? 2 months,
October. October 13th is season four. So we'll be back then to cover all of Voltron. I believe we potentially will have another season wrap-up podcast with some people we couldn't get on any of these, so we will get their new perspectives on the season and on a bunch of these unanswered questions. That'll be great. Potentially we could have a, between now and the next time, we can have a speculation podcast like we talked about. We'll see. But let us know your comments on anything we talked about here. OverlyAnimated.com, YouTube comments, anywhere. Appreciate your feedback on the show. OverlyAnimated.com for more. We have a bunch of cool stuff coming up, including continued Rick and Morty coverage. We might be having a Turf Wars Korra podcast actually happening, so look for that soon. That's going to be great. And other than that, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/overlyanimated. Thank you very much to all of our patrons, especially our patron of the podcast, Alex, a.k.a. Spun Universidad. And thanks always for patron executive producers, John Ryan, Steve, Alex, and Andy. Final brief comments here to wrap things up.
Lotor is definitely like the reason the season.
Are we
good.
Rooting for Lotor? Like, is he that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. It's like when you root for Azula, like you just got us.
Lotor kill all of our faves. That's what he's saying. That's what
Bring
I'd be
the best,
I'd be less distraught than if Azula like than when like Azula got Aang, so
well yeah, duh. Like I think we'd be less distraught. But yeah, let's go Lotor, we're all rooting for you. Maybe you won't be evil. We'll see. I do think it's going to be interesting. Like, we didn't even talk about Zarkon comes back into play now. Lotor is also on the chessboard. So how do those two elements interact? That's going to be fun. So, like, Lotor might not be part of the Galarian Empire, like the runner, the head of the Empire anymore. So he's just going to be, he's on the show and he's like a rogue agent. So that's going to be fun. Okay. All of that and more on later Voltron podcast. Thank you guys very much for listening. We will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.